Welcome back to the Lighter Side of Everything. Good to be back with you here on this Wednesday episode. Well, depending on when you listen to it, I always think of it as a Wednesday episode because I release it Wednesday night. Some of you might think of it, Thursday morning, or depending on where you are in the world, maybe even Tuesday. Point is, the Lighter Side of Everything can be found on the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Gmail. Those are all The Light Comedy. Then we have thelightcomedy.blogspot.ca, thelightcomedy.wordpress.com. And of course, for those of you wanting to be able to listen to it more than just once, or old episodes, there is archive.org. You have to search The Light Comedy. And of course, it is The Lighter Side of Everything on Stitcher Radio, Feedburner, and iTunes. Those are all the different ways to listen. For now. Got an email from podcast.com. Not sure if I should go with them. Anyone has any suggestions? Let me know your thoughts. And on a quick side note, sort of unrelated, a little bit of a tangent, but I'll try to loop it back. So, I'm off today, and it made me think, who takes Wednesdays off? I didn't take it off because I wanted to. I took it off because our company's closed and all this jazz. But, besides that, how many people take off Wednesdays by choice? I just was thinking about this, and it doesn't particularly relate to any other subject, so I'll toss it in now. My first job out of high school, I worked at a recycling plant, but that was 3 days a week, and that was the most they'd let me work there. So I don't really qualify that, but my first, almost full-time, because it wasn't even full-time for the most part, this warehouse, and they had a policy that you could only work 4 days a week, and so you could divvy up your days how you want, and most times I just took the Friday and the Monday off sort of thing, or, you know, so then I saved up and had 4 day weekends. But they liked it to be consistent, and I feel like there was someone, but I was always like, who would take a Wednesday off, or, you know, like, or go back, or Tuesday or Thursday, like, isn't it just natural to want to have it at the end of 1 week, unless, you know, you have prior commitments? But I think I worked with a guy at a oil and gas company who he used his, we worked tens, he would use his day off as Wednesday. And we said, oh, are you forced to do it? It's like other, like you get, you know, the bottom rung or something and last pick. And he's like, no, I choose Wednesday. So now I just have 2 day work weeks. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. I just wouldn't want to have 1 day off and go back. I mean, I have to today, but you do what you have to. Anyways, the point of bringing that up hopefully ties into the thought of this episode. So, as the title says, and hopefully it doesn't come off as too cocky, also, it's a quote, but I'm not quite sure exactly how it goes or who it's by, so I thought I would just rather than attempt to attribute it and quote it correctly, I would just name it as it is. But basically, it's true. If I am the smartest person in the room, I am in the wrong room. What I mean by that is not that I devalue or value myself at a significantly higher level than others, or there's any miscued information, but I like to surround myself with people that are strong in areas that I am not, and even in the areas that I am. I think you always want someone to look up to, you know, a mentor, and And I think, you know, myself had many mentors, but professionally, it's a tough, I don't know, how do I phrase this, tough world to get a mentor in, because you're naturally drawn towards people in your own company, your own line of work. Well, I mean, professionally, hopefully it's in your line of work, but yeah, in the realm of connections you already have. Sometimes it's better to have someone that is completely unattached to anything your organization does or your industry. So, for myself, being in communications, it's nice to have the options of different people. I've been pretty fortunate that two of the bosses I've had, one of my current one, are good mentors. Like, they're just such smart, driven, hardworking people who, you know, I have been seeing a lot of similarities between my life and the TV show Suits right now. Suits on Netflix, great show. And just the way that these bosses, these two, their names are Angela and Corey. That's right, both women. I never met a girl named Corey. It's K-O-R-I. Never met someone like that, spelled like that either. Yeah, they're both such hardworking, just don't, you know, when you get paid salary, and I'm sure they get paid very well, I have no idea. They just get it done, and it's just drive and skill and education, and it's just good and good balance, and you hope to learn from them. But I've also worked at places where I was the smartest person in that regard in the room. I worked at this company. You know, I used to be more open about bashing this company, but the funny thing is that I wrote on a website that it's one of those, like, I think it's called like pay scale, where you can see how much a position makes in this company, you know, and then you can evaluate it and see, because I still to this day hate that when they ask it in a pre-interview context, being like, and how much would you like to make? Okay, I would like you to pay me $100,000 for an internship. Yeah. And then be like, that's my top dollar. Now you start with zero and we'll meet somewhere. You know? Like, I don't know exactly what you're supposed to say. I know you're supposed to have shown that you understand, do the research. And it's tough though, because I've had to ask companies and HR recruiters that I've spoke to in the past about how much does what I say actually matter? Because, like, you don't want to admit that you know nothing about it. But to say, like, you know, I always say like that, like, to me, the onus is more on the company than on the person. Yes, you should know the industry and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, I can tell you that I work for a nonprofit now, and I worked for a nonprofit before this. The nonprofit before this paid me significantly less, and I did much more work. That was just the nature of it. That, so to say that, like, you understand something about a company that you've never worked for because you understand the industry, not necessarily true. Point is, getting back to the smarter people, and enough about talking about salary, I had to think myself where I was. But yeah, I worked at this one company, and I wrote on one of these websites, you have to be able to access company salary information, you have to write reviews of companies that you've worked at or give salary information. It's a good idea. So I wrote a review, and it wasn't super negative, but it just said, like, I just felt like this company had no idea what they were doing. I asked them once, and this is true, I asked the president in one of my reviews, in which he said to me, if this was not an internship, we would have helped you look for other work. Essentially saying they would have fired me. I would have taken it personally, but my first reaction was, if this was not an internship and I didn't have to do this for school, I would have quit. Because, and also, I wasn't learning anything. That was the drawback there, was that I'm not saying I was the smartest person in the room overall. Don't get me wrong. I'm confident in my abilities, but I in no way claim I could run an international business. So when I say smartest person in the room, in certain respects, it's always that little asterisk. In asterisks, the asterisk. In certain respects. Like, when it comes to trivia, I'm pretty smart about trivia. I feel pretty confident about that. But if you were to ask me, like, a complex mathematics equation, oh no, I would never claim to be. Like, even if I was, I would still never venture a guess that I, at the time, was the smartest person about math in the room. It's good to know your limits, I think. History, pretty knowledgeable, things like that. Writing, yeah, it's kind of what I went to school for, so things like that. But at this company, it was kind of funny, because I asked them, is your business successful because, A, it provides a need that no one else provides, or it provides the need better. Because from everything I've learned from school and working, that's the two ways a company can succeed, whether it's locally or internationally and anything in between. It's that you either have to do something that no one else does, or you have to do it better. That's it. If you're just the same, then, like, why would anyone go to you? The point is, like, that's not to say, like, oh, well, there's lots of department stores. Yeah, in an area, locally, things like that. And, of course, there's certain things they do really well. And this isn't my business lecture. I hope it's not coming off that way. But when I asked him that, and I just said, like, you know, you work in, let's say they work in an online capacity. They were an online company, international. And I could never understand who we were, what our identity was, what they were trying to do. It seems like every month, and I only worked there for 4 months, but every month it seemed like they just had this new kick and this new idea. Let's go in this different direction. And this month we're creative, and this month we're going to try and be the cheapest, and well, size is the cheapest, most affordable. I'm sure they would not like to publicize themselves as the cheapest. But yeah, and then other ways like, oh, we're going to be customer service. But then there was no strict dedication to any one of those things. And yet the president constantly just talked at me. He didn't talk to me, just talked at me about the things I didn't understand, the things I didn't get. And I felt like it was like an old man in a rocking chair talking to a kid, be like, you don't know what life is. Like, I was like, okay. No, but the thing was that, as I mentioned before, my degree, my major is public relations. I'm not going to claim to be a master at it. You know, I've only been working after school for a little bit, but the guy was, and I was currently still in school in my third year, I think at this time. Yeah. And this guy was constantly telling me I didn't know what PR was. You don't know. The PR person is the person who gets up and grabs the microphone and wants to talk to everybody and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, interesting. I don't know who these assholes are. I'm like, no, in my mind, and I think a lot of respectable public relations people's minds, a PR person, yeah, they have a bad rap. And, you know, you might have an opinion about me from saying that, but essentially, sorry about that, folks. I had to do a little cut there. that's my phone ringing in the background. I'm off today, but I do have plans. So, again, sorry for that. Yeah, I would have to take out the whole thing and record it again if I was to take it out. So I cannot say how sorry I am. But essentially, the point of a PR person for an organization or an individual, whoever you are, is to be the mediator. And this is what I've gathered from learning from other people, between the company or the organization or the individual and its target publics. So, you know, I've heard it asked me before, like, well, doesn't that mean like PR people, like, oh, they spin things? A big insult to PR people is spin doctors and like liars and things like that. And we had a guest speaker in one of my classes in second year, and someone said, like, oh, what are we supposed to say when someone asks us such a thing or calls us one of those names? Well, the truth is, he said, think of it this way. If I work for Coca-Cola and a reporter comes up to me and is like, yes, but isn't it true that Pepsi's a good drink? And an honest response, and this is the best way to think about it, is like, that may be true. I don't work for Pepsi, though. And that's the way it is. And I didn't learn this. Like, I didn't just come by this from some random source. And I learned this from other people. And then it's a long time getting into this, the point of this episode, but here it is that I surround myself with mentors, with people who know more than I do. My girlfriend and my best friend are geologists. Like, my girlfriend just recently graduated, and like, that's fantastic. I don't know a great deal about science. Like, you know, I'm a right brain, as my profession would indicate, and hers is potentially left brain. That's not to say she's not creative and I'm not in some ways mathematical and logical, but yeah, it is what it is. And I don't claim to know more about her. I always find it funny when people are not even just upset, because yeah, like being shown up or things like that, that can be upsetting. But when people try to claim that they know about a subject and like talk about something, and it's like, a prime example, being a diabetic, I have to have a fairly good understanding of how nutrition works, specifically for myself. But, you know, a lot of that comes from understanding nutrition in general. I played rugby at a high level for many years, so it's not as if I could just wing it and guess, like, oh, what does this do to me when I eat a pound of chocolate? I don't understand. I took insulin, and yet I'm having low blood sugar, but I ate a pound of chocolate. Well, I'm not even going to say the answer, because this will encourage you, if you don't know, to ask someone. I help others learn. But yeah, people would constantly tell me about eating and things like that. And I had this one roommate, and who his girlfriend would constantly talk to me about working out and stuff and nutrition. And I can't remember what she said one day, but she was saying something about protein, and she's like, basically said, like, protein's not good for you. And I said, oh, do go on. And she's like, oh, it just slows you down. I'm like, I think that most people would disagree with you, and especially most nutritionists. She was trying to say that, like, a little protein, blah, 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 and like vegetables after you work out. I'm like, well, they're not a bad idea. You're wrong. but she came to it through, I don't know, whatever, unreliable sources. But she doesn't have people around her that she trusts, I guess. That's what I always figure when people, you know, have to prove that they're smart in a certain area, but when they're not, or they just make something up, it doesn't necessarily have to do with the fact that they don't know anything. Just that I think it's, they don't have people in their lives, or they don't trust, either or, people to give them the correct information, or, like, again, trustworthy information. So, you know, all I can say from this is that I completely recommend it. You know, my mom and my sister helped me for a long, long time understand linguistics and reading. My sister used to edit my papers when I first went to school. I never really thought I'd be in a profession that depended so much on writing and anything like that, like public presenting. But I learned from it, and I became a stable and able person in that field. And yeah, I kind of thought back a couple years later, after my sister had edited my last paper that she did, and yeah, it was weird to look back, but it was because I surrounded myself with people. And that's my suggestion, my one preachy part for this episode, is what's the harm in surrounding yourself with people that know more about a subject than you do? I mean, I constantly watch TED Talks, and I sort of force myself to listen and learn things that I'm not necessarily interested in. Adam Kroll is talking about how, you know, when we're kids, we're exposed to things that we don't like: math, English, gym, whatever it is you don't like, you have to do it as part of school. And then when we get older, we get into these mindsets and activities that don't expose us to things that we don't like. You know, if you don't like math, well, then you don't get a job in that requires math, and you don't take it in school and anything like that. But, you know, I've watched the TED Talks about food, and I can't remember exactly what it's called, but I think it's a relatively new one. But yeah, the food talks, I don't particularly care, but it was interesting. And now I feel like I have a more well-rounded education. It wasn't like, you know, I wasn't learning to read Chinese or anything. It wasn't so far beyond my scope. But yeah, that counts as a person, the surrounding with smarter than me. Like, all the people on TED Talks, I would qualify as being smarter than me. But yeah, obviously I watch the ones that are of interest to me. But what's the harm in learning something that you are not interested in? I'm not saying, like, just focus all your time on that, but it makes you a more well-rounded person. I think of it like a trivia team. You need to have your person who's smart at sports, person who's good at history, English. For some reason, like I said, also the person who needs to know rivers in Africa. No idea why rivers are such a popular subject. I know I've said this on the other podcast, but I have to say it again. But hopefully, you take a little bit from this. And like my motto is, I try to be a little bit better every day, whether it's humbler, smarter, fitter, a better person, have a better perspective, whatever it is, improve. And hopefully listen to this podcast, not just this episode, but hopefully it gives you something, whether it's more lighthearted, less stressful. Maybe you gain some form of intelligence from it, or maybe I've just said something that you're like, this person makes me feel better about myself because this guy is an idiot. And if that is, continue to listen, because for whatever reason you listen, I love that you listen. Hopefully it's good ones. So again, plugs at the beginning. So the typical plug that I put at the end is just share the love. Thank you so much. A few new followers on WordPress this week. Yeah, just WordPress. You know what you are to me. Thanks so much. Yeah, hopefully you find yourself in a room where you're also not the smartest person. That way we all continue to grow. And there's my PBS preachy moment. But thanks for listening again. Thanks for the thanks. That's all I'll say from now on. Thanks for the thanks. But until next time, this has been The Lighter Side of Everything. Admitting I'm never the smartest person in the room. Edition. Episode. Saying. Bye-bye.